Lord, we just thank you once again for bringing us all together again, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're working that work in all of us. I ask, Father, for your anointing tonight on each one of us to share what you've given us over the weekend, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit fill each one of us up to as far as we can go with you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are with us. You do guide us and you do lead us, Lord. And I ask for your continuing presence among this group here, Lord, and to fill everybody up that wants to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I praise you, Father, for your work that you're doing. And Lord, I ask and I pray for your protection on Donald Trump and the people that surround him, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you expose before it happens any kind of attempt upon his life. And I praise you for that, Lord. I thank you for allowing him, giving him the wisdom to drain the swamp, so to speak, up there in Washington, D.C. And I praise you, Father, for the excellent work that that you're doing through him, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you do. You fill him up with your Holy Spirit. And that you give him great, bold witnesses for you, Lord. And I praise you for it, Lord. I praise you, Father, that your will is going to be done in this man and in his cabinet, Lord. And I praise you for that. I ask, Father, that tonight's message that he's going to give to the nation on this last year be one of unity. That's what he wants. He said he'd like to have unity in this country rather than divisiveness that the opposition party has tried to bring into this country. Lord, I ask that you bring an end to that and bring us together as one country with the same message, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Father, I praise you. I praise you, Father, that once again you're going to put us on the road to prosperity in you, not in the world's way of prosperity, but in you, Lord, that this be a time of great outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, over your people all over the world. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for this great revival, end-time revival, that may break out most any time, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, you've given us dreams and visions of the mighty outpouring of your Spirit and the dynamic things that are going to happen because of the obedience of your people, Lord, with the signs and wonders following and the people coming in because of it. Thank you, Father, for this mighty, great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. Okay. Any prayer requests? Anybody got a prayer request? Today is the 30th day of the 2018. Man, this month's almost gone. Willie, did you have a prayer request?
No, I wasn't really raising my hand, but, you know, I thought they'd come to my mind. I remember praying to the Father and asked the Father, you know, do you want my oldest daughter to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, you give me a confirmation. So I opened up the Bible, you know. Wherever my hand dropped, it dropped, and it dropped in the area where Peter, you know, had to rehearse how he went to the centurion's house and spoke to the nation, you know, and how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, and I thought that was a really good confirmation. You know, so it's just that, you know, that manifestation is what I'm waiting for. I don't know if we're supposed to pray for it after it's coming, or do we need to pray for it?
I missed some of that for some reason. It was kind of distorted to me.
Sorry.
I can hear you good now.
All right. My microphone was slightly covered. Yeah, and so I prayed to the Father one day. You know, I asked the Father, you know, do you want my oldest daughter to be filled with the Spirit? Mm-hmm. And so I opened up the Bible. You know, in the first place I land at is where Peter was talking to. He was sent to Cornelius, you know, mm-hmm. had to rehearse that with the Jews, you know, concerning the situation. And rehearsed how he was preaching the gospel and how they were filled with the Holy Spirit in like manner. So I found that it was a pretty cool confirmation. And so that's just something I would like to pray about, you know.
Okay.
That's that soon.
All right. Well, you pray and we'll believe we.
All right. Father, we just praise your holy name because you are worthy to receive honor, glory, and power this day. This day, Heavenly Father, your Spirit is with us. This day, your glory with us is with us, Heavenly Father. This day is your peace with us. This day is your promises with us, Heavenly Father. Lord, I'm just praying, you know, that there be a fulfillment, Heavenly Father, of the verse of Scripture you gave me concerning Cornelius and his house and how all were filled with the Holy Spirit and how all spake with tongues. Concerning this same thing with my oldest daughter, Lord. That you fill her with your Holy Spirit as she be confirmed in your word, Heavenly Father, and that she speak with tongues as you confirm in your word, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. I praise you for it. I bless your holy name, Heavenly Father. Lord, this is the day in which you confirm all things, Heavenly Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Willie that this is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. All right. Excuse me. Anyone else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Let's pray for my trip up to Pennsylvania. Lord, I pray that you would give me a traveling mercy, give me grace, Lord God, to get up there and to get back. Lord, I pray that the weather, which Missy said was supposed to snow, I pray that that would split and go around where we're going to be, that there wouldn't be any snow, that the weather would be conducive to a move with an open trailer, and that we would be able to get up and get back without any incident. We pray that all the workers would remain healthy and have no back aches, no back problems at all, and that they would be able to just do their job and go about our business then. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing, your will, and all the good things that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We command the weather to be sunshiny. Up there and back, complete clear roads for them in Jesus' name, and no problems with the vehicle either in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. They're going to get great gas mileage too in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to pray. A couple of my daughters were here this weekend, one from Arkansas and one from Oregon, and a couple of my grandkids. And I just continued to speak what the Word says. You know, I was healed at the cross. I didn't have this cancer anymore. It's gone in Jesus' name. And they're not really in that place, but I just like everyone to agree with me to pray for them. Father, we ask that you just touch their hearts and change their hearts, Lord. Help them to repent their thinking and to agree with what the Word says, to agree with the things that we spoke while they were here this weekend. I know they're having a hard time believing that and accepting it, but we know you can change them, and just give them the grace to repent and agree with what your Word says. We thank you, and send your ministering angels to minister to each one. And we thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to get the glory for this and not the doctors. We thank you, Lord, that he is cancer-free in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that this will be a great testimony to Marlon and Gano's daughters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? What about a praise report or a testimony? Okay, Judy. Well, wait a minute. Let me unmute you. You're having a little trouble there. All right, go ahead.
Well, my daughter, my oldest daughter, went to court today, and I've been praying that the Lord have mercy and grace on her and give her house arrest instead of having her serve the time in the county jail. But that's what the Lord did. He gave us mercy and grace, and she's going to have house arrest. I don't know for how long, or I don't know anything else. I just know that. So that, I just thank him. I was thanking him and praising him all day long. So thank you, Lord, for answered prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. That's great news. Did your daughter understand what happened?
I hope she does. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm praying she does.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, anybody else?
How did I get that?
I want to read a little something from my Daily in His Presence by Andrew Murray for today. It's a great one, I thought. Waiting Upon God. O Lord, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Psalms 131:4. The reason I'm starting is real small print there. Waiting upon God. In the expression, we find one of the deepest truths in God's Word regarding the attitude we need to adopt in our communion with Him. Waiting upon God to drink. Or to think that he makes himself known to us, that he wants to teach us that he will keep his promises to us, that in all things he remains the everlasting God. This is the way in which we should begin each day in quiet meditation, offering our heartfelt longings and desires to our Father. Indeed, this should be our attitude throughout the day while we are busy with the day's activities. Waiting upon God in striving towards obedience and holiness in our struggle against sin and self In all these things, there should be a waiting upon God to receive what he would supply, to see what he would do, and to allow him to be Almighty God in our lives. Meditate upon these things, and they will help you to truly appreciate the precious promises of God's Word. The deep root of all scriptural truth is this: absolute dependence upon God. As we practice that attitude, it will become more natural and achievable for you to wait upon God. Perhaps the month's readings have helped you in your adoration of God, or maybe they have led you to realize how little you know of it, whichever it may be. Give thanks to him. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Psalms 130, verse 5. Well, Lord, at times I am in such a hurry. Teach me to wait on you in quiet trust. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you for putting that trust in us to you, Lord, to believe what your promises say and to strive to be with you in our quiet times each day before the day gets started, preferably, so that we can have you directing our lives the whole day long, Lord. And let us be ever cognizant of the voice, that inner small still voice that you speak to us with, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, or prayer request?
I have a testimony, Michael.
Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, for our daughter, Victory. Last time we were up there was, over Christmas time. I don't think it was that time. Anyway, we went back up. One of our main purposes was to get with her and ask her for forgiveness from some things in the past, because we had just a real bad relationship for quite a few years. I mean, a lot of years, actually. And there was just a lot, especially with her and Debbie. Just had an anger towards her all the time. And but anyway, God put it on our heart that we should go there, and we did. And we asked her to forgive us and for some things, and she did. She granted us that forgiveness. And I'm telling you, ever since then, it's totally changed. She is a different person. And we've been talking with her on the phone quite a bit, and she is just, she's really pressing into the Lord more now, and we see it. But just our relationship is just totally different. And just that forgiveness, you know, we hear that said all the time, you can't have forgiveness. And I believe that's what it was, and it's just really set her free. And it set us free, too. It helped us. We just have a totally different relationship. So thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for restoring family relationships in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anyone else? Well, all right. Last week, who was it? Somebody requested that we talk about the servant's heart. I believe it was Willie. Requested we talk about the servant's heart. And I pray everybody did look those verses up and kind of meditated on them and tell us what the Lord showed you about it. Now, first thing I'm going to ask is somebody, let's get some verses to establish this servant's heart in the Word of God. Has anybody looked those up? Come on now, I know y'all did some. We need some key verses here to go from.
Paul gave kind of a rundown that just started from his position in heaven all the way down to the death of the cross. That's one there.
Okay, where is that?
I don't know. Somewhere in Paul's writings, which would narrow it down to the New Testament.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, that might, narrowed it right there.
Philippians 2.
Maybe 1 Corinthians.
I think it's Philippians chapter 2.
Yep, Philippians 2 is a good place to start. You got that verse, Denny? Verses, I should say.
Yeah, I could read it. This is in the New English Version. I'll just start in verse 1. It said, your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from cheap desires to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering one another better than yourself, to look out for one another's interests and not just your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think by that he did not think that by force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all that he had, and he took the nature of a servant. He became like man and appeared in a human likeness. In human likeness, he was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, the death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall to their knees, and all will obey, openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to keep on, okay? Verse 12.
Okay.
So then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, and in the same manner do ye also joy and rejoice with me. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state. For they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a child serveth the father, so he served with me in furtherance of the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send forthwith, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly. But our candidate necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger, and minister to my needs, since he longed after you all and was sore troubled because ye had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. I have sent him, therefore, the more diligently, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all joy, and hold such in honor, because for the work of Christ he came nigh unto death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me. Amen. That's a wonderful chapter there in Philippians chapter 2, showing us what it is to be a servant, to have a servant's heart. Can anybody pick some things out of there and let's go over them? Well, verse 3, let's go over that right quick. Verse 3 of Philippians 2. Doing nothing through faction. Okay, Tracy. Amen. Doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. You know, the Lord told us that he didn't come here to be served. He came here to be a servant. And that we're also supposed to be following Christ, aren't we? So if we're to be following Christ in his footsteps, then our job is to be a servant of one another and to do the things that God wants us to do for our brethren. Forget us. It's about those around us. And that's the attitude that God wants us as his believers, as his followers and disciples to have. Do all things without murmurings and questionings. Don't be murmuring. Don't be questioning. Just do them. Just do what God wants you to do. Does anybody see anything else in here? Yeah, Malcolm.
No, not specifically. I wasn't thinking of that text. I was just wanted to make a comment about, I was just talking to somebody who had adopted children. Many people who adopt children, especially who have like a detachment, attachment disorder and other things like that, where they can't bond, and it's just difficult to maintain a relationship with a child that can't bond to the parent. But I just think that, you know, the people who, when you think about what our role here is, often, even in the natural world, the focus is on having the children, bearing the children, protecting the children, and then passing out the scene, and then the children pick up the torch in the natural world. And I think the same in the spiritual world. Jesus came, gave everything, died, and now everything is with his offspring. And I think that as we, I think our role really is to give ourselves for others, whether it's to our expense or not. I think that's what Moses did say that, you know, let me be, it doesn't matter. Let me be, I forget what he said, not saved or something in the situation there. When the Israelites were rebelling, he said, but he was pleading for God's people who were in rebellion. it's that giving yourself for others. And I think people who, you know, if you've brought somebody, if the Lord has used you to bring somebody else to the Lord, it's like that's everything right there is begatting children, begutting. What happened to my English? Okay, so anyway, that's just some thoughts there, what we're here for, whether in the natural world with animals or in the spiritual world with the Lord. It's all about, and I'm just thinking also about Paul, who was talking you would remember the text. They don't have a Bible in front of me, but said, let the younger be subject to the older. And then he said, yea, let everybody be subject to everybody else. So it's difficult to find texts that deal with this because it's a theme through the whole Bible. It's just Old Testament, New Testament is just the same thing. God hates pride and the meek and the lowly are the ones that he takes care of.
Amen. Yeah, Tracy got it there. I had it here. 1 Peter 5:5-6 is the one that you were asking about. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Thank you, Tracy. All right. Anybody else see anything else in Philippians 2 there, or any other one as far as that goes? Since we've got her rolling now.
Okay, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I just lost my place. Sorry, guys.
No, don't do that.
I got to find Philippians again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 2. I was looking at 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I'm did himself. Okay, but I guess mainly 4 there. I found something today I was reading. It's like, this is pertaining to Christians. We don't have, so many Christians do not have that heart, you know, that we're thinking on other people, and all of us fall into that. And, you know, I know God shows us and that we gotta repent of it, but for the biggest part, though, for much of the Christian church, there's so much on themselves. I wrote this down here, but I read today. It's servant living stands opposed to the primary concern we see today, where the focus of our culture and society is more on our own personal happiness and comfort. So Christians, they're just too absorbed in society for their own comfort. And there's so much out there about self-help books, like Be All You Can Be, Experience Your Potential, and How to Find Self-Happiness. And these are Christian books that have maybe some Christian scriptures, but they're all based on just helping yourself. Then I got here, it says, they can give genuine help with certain problems, but whether implicit or explicit, they suggest that the prime goal we should be pursuing is our own comfort and the convenience of our of our own self-expression rather than growth in their Christian character and quality to being like Jesus. So it's just so true. So much out there in the Christian community is directing us to more successful relationships, becoming more a person, realizing one's potential, experiencing more thrills each day, whipping ourselves into shape, improving our diet, managing our money. These things are important, but they are so important to Christians that Christians don't have the time to think about dying to self and being a servant to all like Jesus did. So I just thought that was so true. I mean, we just need to pray for Christians everywhere that they hear God. They have to be like him. I mean, the best way to know how to be have a servant's heart is just to look at what Jesus did. So pretty contrary to that verse 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Not looking each of you to his own things. Don't worry about what you got. Let's help somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's what God wants us to be. That's the way Jesus was. That's the way he was.
You are.
Michael, I was just thinking about what I said earlier. Mind if I follow up a little?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking about, you know, how in nature, a lot of emphasis in protecting the children. A mother bear goes crazy sometimes if you get too close, as many of us have found out when we're out hiking. And we are wishing the trail wouldn't be quite so long. As a mother bear is chasing us down the trail. So, but when you think, and I don't want to, you know, make people feel bad, but I think when you think about abortion, it's a similar, it's just like an opposite to that natural desire to preserve your child, which is, of course, the causing the death of your child. For your own personal happiness. I understand there are many different situations. But anyway.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I thought you might have had some more there.
No, it's just it's just the opposite of the principle of caring for others and
yeah.
Being a servant. And I know with parents, many parents have been thoroughly embarrassed by their children because it kind of reflects on the family name if a child misbehaves. But it's not about the family name. It's about the about giving oneself, and it doesn't matter what other people think.
Amen. Well, Matthew 20, 26, which goes along with what we're talking about here, Matthew 20, verse 26, says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. That's when all the disciples were sitting there figuring out, trying to figure out who was the greatest one among them, you know. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. So here it is again. And then Matthew 20 and 28, two more verses up, it said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yep, that's where he wants us. He wants us to do all these things. And then Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. That's some more of that die to self stuff and start serving your brothers and sisters. Serving the brethren.
Hey, Michael, that last verse you read, you broke up and you got really weird. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew 23:11-12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's Matthew 23:11-12, which goes along with what we're talking about. We are to be servants. We're not to exalt ourselves in any way in the real Christian world. We're all humble. Jesus did that. He humbled himself. He did some fantastic work while he was humble. Fantastic work. Go ahead, Judy.
What about the foot washing on John 13:12-16?
All right, go ahead.
When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him."
Amen. Yep.
And I have one, too.
Oh, and Sue has one.
Okay.
Go for it, Sue.
You have to get in front of the camera. You can't just sit over there out the camera now.
Yeah, tell her.
Aye, aye, sir. Romans 15:1. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, or the burden, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.' For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God."
Okay, now tell me what you read.
we are to take care of one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. And when one is weak, we need to be weak with those that are weak. And when ones are suffering, we need to be able to suffer with them. And when they're rejoicing, to rejoice with them. And there is a reference too with Galatians 6:1, which relates to bearing one another's burdens. We need to be sensitive to one another, is what I get out of that. We need to be sensitive to each other's needs.
Amen.
Whatever we're experiencing, to be able to help them in whatever the situation is, to help them in some way. Even if it's just consoling and praying for them.
Amen. Well, I've got Galatians 6:2 down here. I didn't have 6:1. But it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, yeah, that's right. We bear one another's burdens like Sue was talking about. We hurt with them when they hurt, and we pray with them you know, try to make, to bring them into that realm of the promises and the rest of God. And we do whatever's necessary to help the brothers and sisters out. Praise God.
It's kind of like the body of Christ that Paul talks about, that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
When the foot hurts, the hand, you know, hurts with it, or tries to support it, or help it, or pull. When your brain tells you that your hand is burning, then it tells your hand to pull itself away from the stove.
Amen. Yeah.
Although that happens pretty fast, but
anyway, most cases, yeah. Most cases it does. Sometimes, you know, we bump up against it, not realizing we bump up against it until the pain starts hitting.
Yeah. But I like that analogy that everything's suffering and rejoicing together. You know, when one rejoices, we all rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, you know, talking about what Sue was talking about there, Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37 is a wonderful parable about helping out people to serve other people. And I'm going to read that. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. This is the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows it. Jesus made answer and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in like manner, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion, and came to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I, when I come back again, will repay thee. Which of these 3 thinkest thou proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So that. You know, that shows you. You see somebody in need, you need to help them. Praise God. We do that as disciples of Christ. Yeah, Sue. Wait a minute. You have to unmute before you talk. There you go, Judy. Go ahead, Sue.
I have a testimony that relates to that. And my husband and I, we were the recipients of the help. We were coming down from visiting my family in Wisconsin, coming down to Rockford, Illinois, and our car was acting up, and we didn't know it would shut down, and then we'd have to pull over, and then after a while it would start up again, and we could get going, and we thought, we've got to find some place to take this, because we had so many hours, we had to get to Pennsylvania, so we were in Illinois, and we prayed, you know, prayed to the Lord and stuff. And one of the times that we were near Rockford and we pulled over and we were praying again, and we saw this van pass by and a few feet over past us and went over on the berm and backed up, you know, and came to us, and it was this man, and he said. What he asked us what we needed and stuff, and he said I felt like I needed to be the Good Samaritan. So just by him saying that, we knew he was a believer, because we had asked someone to come and help us that would, you know, be able to take us to a garage and stuff, and And so he did. He took us to this place where we could get to the garage, and he, after we, they were going to work on it and stuff, and he said, now, he came back to us, and he says, now, you know, we talked to him, and we told him that we were believers, and he was a believer and stuff. And he said, now, if you need, if you have to keep your car overnight, I'm giving you my number. If you need me to call, I will come and get you guys, and then you can stay at our house. So that's what happened. We ended up being there overnight, and he stayed. We stayed at his home, and come to find out, you know, we had some fellowship at night that evening, and in the morning, my husband and him went for a walk, and here we found out that he was going over to Moody Bible Institute. And he felt so dead. He felt so dead because he said he couldn't read the word anymore. And he was just so tired, you know, because it was so religious. And he loved the Lord and everything. But my husband got to talk to him and encourage him and stuff. And then we, you know, that morning we got our car and everything. But, you know, here it turned around, you know, got turned around. We were first that he ministered to us, and, you know, we needed that ministry. And then we didn't know that he needed ministry, and we were able to help him be ministered to. But it was unique. We had a couple of times after that with him, you know, where we were able to see him again. But he went on to be a pastor. He got better, I guess. But anyway, I thought it was kind of neat, you know, the way that happened. And my husband and I, it cost us like, it was the gas pump. It was the gas pump that went out, and it was about $500. And my husband and I said, we don't care how much that cost. We were blessed because, you know, because that man, you know, that brother was there to help us. And we saw that word in action, you know, in our own lives. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. He had a servant's heart, and y'all did too, and you helped one another, didn't you?
That's right. That was a blessing. Such a
praise
blessing.
Praise God. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Marla.
John 12:26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor.
Amen. Amen. What about the one before it too? He that loveth his life.
He that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life is in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
Amen. Another servant's heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. We need to lose this life. It's so fleshly life. And you do that by serving others. How many of you know when you serve others, you're going to lose some flesh? It's going to be some people are flesh killers, aren't they? Praise God. But you just go ahead and serve anyway.
I got one. It's not a verse of scripture, but it was something that one of our presidents said.
Okay, you're kind of cutting out, but go ahead.
You know, he said, don't put off what you can do. Don't put off, oh my goodness, how did he say
don't put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. And so I thought that was neat because it reminded me, then the Lord brought the scripture into my mind, like, for what is your life? You know, is it not a vapor, you know, which is here today, you know, or is it, then he compares it to the grass of the field and he compares it to a lily. You know, in such a short lifespan. And so how the Lord's been dealing with me with having a servant's heart is, don't think of what you're going to do for me tomorrow. And don't think about, you know, what you did yesterday or how you messed up yesterday. Not saying that you shouldn't be praying about, you know, the things you stumble in, but concentrating on, if this was your only day today, you know, to serve me, what would you be doing right now? You know, and it kind of gave me a small epiphany. I'm like, you really can. You actually really can live your life day to day for God. But we're trying to live it, you know, not today, but tomorrow for God. You know, trying to make plans, you know, trying to make plans on serving him according to the past, you know, or try to make plans for him on, you know, according to how we will better serve him tomorrow. You know, then what's going on right now, immediately today? What do you need to deal with in your heart? You know, when God brought you across an immediate situation where someone told you they were in pain or they were sick and you had that opportunity to pray with them and you passed by, you know, I started seeing all of these today stuff I could be doing today, you know, that I was saying, you know, maybe tomorrow the Lord might give me the opportunity. Maybe tomorrow it'd be a better day where I can get together and pray with that person. And the opportunity was right there. But because, you know, my service was based on, you know, yesterday and tomorrow, you know, and not living in the immediate time, you know, not living in the day, you know, it just changed my perspective, you know, on, you actually can, if you set your mind on, okay, if this was the day, this was a, think of it as the last day. If this was the last day you could serve God, you know, what would you be doing? You know, or focus on your walk day to day. What would you be doing today? You know, and if this was the only day, what would you be doing? You know, and you'll stop putting off things tomorrow. You know, and you'll stop concentrating, you know, on yesterday's stumblings and failures, and you'll start concentrating on praying on things that need immediate prayer, wrestling with things that are in your soul that defile your garments. You'll start, you know, praying for other people. You'll start calling, contacting brothers you haven't, you know, contact in a long time. It really changes your perspective, you know. It really, but that's just one of the things, you know, he started dealing with me about having a servant's heart. Because I told the Lord, I said, you know, I really don't know what to say about a servant's heart. You know, and I love it when he, you know, starts taking me through little experiences so, you know, I can have a personal experience on, you know, just how it affects me.
Well, Willie, you just had a profound sentence there that I wrote down that I think everybody ought to write down. And that is, if this were your last day on earth, what would you be doing? What would you do today? And it may be, you know, I tell you, yeah, there you go. Andrew heard it too. I think everybody did. Well, praise God. If this were your last day, what would you be doing? And we ought to treat every day as the last day. What would you be doing? Would you be doing the little idle things that we do sometimes or lots of times maybe? Or would you be doing the things of the Lord? Yeah. That's a good, a great, actually, sentence that we need to stick up somewhere, maybe in every room of the house, right up over the doorpost. Amen. Thank you, Willie, for that. Well, all right. Anyone else? Hey, David. Amen. If this were your last day, what would you be doing, David? I'm sorry to hit you like that when you first come on, man. Hadn't even had time to sit down. Oh boy, I'm
sorry
just
about
kidding.
That. I was fell right asleep and I couldn't get up. I just like, whoa. Wow.
We're
it'd
talking
like,
to.
It'd be like waking up from sleep, like to, like what?
Yeah, we've been talking about a servant's heart, you know, from
right.
last week. And Willie gave this sentence amongst all the other great things he said, but this one stood out to me. If this were your last day, what would you be doing as far as Christ, your day with Christ, you know?
You know, I wake up my day every day. I get up early. You know, I try to get up like 3, 3.30 in the morning and study Scripture the best I can. Usually I get an hour, hour and a half in, you know, amongst other things and shower and all that. My routine is try to begin with the Lord all the time and then listen to some UVM while I'm at work best I can. And then try to be led by the Lord. I mean, I can't say I'm always successful in everything because, you know, last week was really challenging. But my walk with the Lord is really good. The best I can get it in my humanly ways possible. Not that I'm saying I've arrived, but I'm on a place and on a track that I don't want to change the way it's going. So I can't really improve on it unless all I could do is let the Lord come in and divinely do something. That'd be my only thing. So if there's any kind of change, it's more on what's the Lord want to do. How's he going to walk in and do things? Because I'm at that point where I like to be led as much as I can, even in the Scripture. I open up the Scripture a lot, often in Esau, looking for answers for the Lord to talk to me, and he does talk to me a lot of times. And when he doesn't, I just bear down. It's like it's called pressing again. I said, no, I might get something out of it. I say that I'm specifically thinking about this or talking about that, and I do it again, and the Lord will come and talk to me, you know. So, and with the Scripture and then other things. The only thing, the way we can improve is actually be in heaven. To actually be there. And it's not like this life is the place we're supposed to ultimately end. You know, our ending is going to be in with the Lord, you know, and with the kingdom. And have all this veil, which we, even though it's somewhat removed, have it completely moved, you know, or our eyes can, and our spiritual eyes can see openly and hear things, just like Tom Kruger heard when he was in heaven, just like Paul, you know, and seeing things. I mean, that's the ultimate goal I see. I don't see this as being the goal. I see this as the training ground, the place we have to stumble through, the place we're trying to overcome and get into that place we're trying to achieve and come to. David said it perfectly too. I mean, there's times where he felt like, you know, oh, geez, Lord, I just would, you know, it'd be nice to go. It'd be nice to be in heaven now. But he, at the same time, he knew when he had his opportunities maybe to leave. If he left now, that's the possibility of maybe some more fruit in his life he wouldn't have. He wouldn't be able to see. He wouldn't come into. So that's the only reason why he's pressing in still here today, or like to be here. It's because it adds up to more fruit we have when we get in heaven. Now, how's that work out? I don't know. I just think the longer we're here and the longer we strive to be the Lord and walk with him and come together as a group and understand. And because, you know, the reality is what we have here, I can't find other places. I can't find that sincere desire to be filled with the Spirit, the sincere desire to hear from the Lord, the sincere desire to, you know, do the walk and all that he's given us and the promises and try to see him come true and come in our life. I don't see it happening in other places. I don't see other Christians talking like that. And when you do talk like that around them, it makes them very uncomfortable. They don't know how to perceive it. They still stumble in their life with things they've had 3 or 4 years ago and haven't changed. And we're trying to overcome. We're becoming new creatures in Christ daily. And by the year, we can see the growth. So other than just being here to gain more fruit, that's the only advantage I see being here right now. That's, I don't know if that's a short answer.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? You know, I was sitting here thinking and listening to you, Dave. I was listening to you, but I was also thinking, what would you do? Well, you know, my mind goes back many years to not to one specific time, but all the times that the Lord has put somebody on my heart to maybe call or pray for that I didn't do it for whatever reason. And I'm thinking, what if I call old John, you know, and then I'd call one time and the line would be busy or whatever, you know, and I didn't try to contact him again. But I believe what I would do if I knew this was my last day on earth, just me, I'm just talking about Michael, that I would contact those people in the past that I was, you know, a little bit apprehensive because of fear of man, so to speak, and not giving them the true gospel. And just talk to them about where they are with the Lord and talk to them about eternity and where they are with the Lord. I believe that's something that I would try to do at that time. One of the things, you know, I'm not saying that Dave was wrong or I'm right or I'm wrong, he's right, but, you know, I'm just saying that's just me. And that's what came to my mind as I was sitting here meditating on that sentence that Willie gave. So I believe I'd contact old John Schaffner. I believe I'd contact old Donald Barber. These guys that I knew way back years and years ago that I know are not right with the Lord, that the Lord told me to contact him and not and share the gospel with him, that I didn't do it. You know, we don't mind sharing the gospel with strangers, or I don't. It doesn't bother me to share the gospel with strangers. But when it's with friends that you grew up with, friends that they know you, and you know you're liable to get some flack from them, you know, that we sometimes fear to share with. Even our brothers and sisters in the natural, sometimes we have trouble ministering to them in a way that God wants us to. And if it was the last day, and I knew it was my last day, I believe my attitude would be a little bit different when I talked with them. You know, I'd have a little more urgency about myself and about the Lord Jesus Christ, actually. That's just me. Anybody else?
I agree with what you're saying. I think while I'm here, one of the things I need to learn is how to approach people better when that, you know, because there's many Christians around me, many people that I know. You know, when we try to share what we know and bring them to the truth of the gospel, well, they're not really ready to pull that in. You know, they're not going to feel comfortable with that, you know, as far as the divine understanding of healing and deliverance and the grace of God to help us get these things, come into that gospel, the good news. My problem with that is having to try to bring it to them, and at the same time, it seems like they're really not ready to receive it. It's hard. It's very hard. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my gosh. So many Christians today fight that. They just think, I got that at birth. Well, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit. And I was explaining to the guy last week, and unfortunately, he's kind of mad at me right now. You know, I'm going to have to kind of figure out how to get around that again. But because of his religious spirit, and I was saying no, the next day, because he's, you know, trying to prove, well, hey, the Lord gave me this and knowledge, and he kind of goes off in his little head. And I says, you know, the Holy Spirit can be around you, and there's a lot of Christians, but he doesn't necessarily... not necessarily in you. As long as in you, you know that. And you try to get people to understand the benefit of having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, and having you overcome in areas you've never overcome in your life. Not that I'm saying you've arrived, but I tell you what, there's places you can't be without the Holy Spirit in your life. It's just not going to, I don't care. You just need God to help you do that. But to try to bring people into that part of the gospel today, they don't want it. And that confuses me. And I'm watching a little of this guy named Jonathan Peters. You've got, maybe you've heard him lately. Very intelligent man, very articulate, knows how to talk to people and encourage them and bring them up into his ideas without offending them, at the same time dispelling falsehoods, but engaging people and still allowing them to feel unoffended. That's the biggest thing. Try to talk to people without making them feel like they're defensive, unoffended, and don't have any place to go without the knowledge you're giving them. And that's a hard thing with the gospel. There's so much there we could try to draw them into, and that we have at all, but they don't have. And I find that to be the biggest stumbling block in my life right now, how to bring them into that, and, you know, other than just the gospel, because a lot of them have the gospel. A lot of them have the idea, hey, I'm saved. I have Jesus as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. I go and confess my sins to Jesus in my private prayers or whatever, and we do these religious works. I'm supporting that ministry or this orphanage, you know, whatever. But to try to bring them into the personal part of the Lord and what he gave us and how we can just walk with him daily and see his inner life in a way that you haven't seen him before, I don't know if they all really want that. I don't see that desire, that earnest, you know, running after that. That's my stumbling block, trying to get them to understand that. But a lot of them don't really want to go that far. So anyways, that's just me talking.
Amen. Amen. You know, Dave, I was sitting here thinking about what you were just saying. And I'm thinking to myself, now, how would you approach somebody in your family now? I remember in the past, I was talking to my brother, my older brother. And if you've ever had brothers, older brothers, you've always looked up to them, you know, because they were the older brother, you know. And I always had a hard time sometimes talking with him and my oldest brother and my older brother. I always had a hard time talking spiritual things with them. And I was just sitting here meditating on that. How would you approach them on the last day that you were here? How would you do it? And the Lord brought to my heart that you do it with a lot of grace. You do it with a lot of grace. And you'd sit down and, you know, this is what came to me, you know. You tell them, look, I want you to be in heaven with me. And there are certain things that, you know, that the Word says, it proves whether or not you're a child of God. And you can go through it that route. And I don't know, just be very humble, is the way the Lord was telling me. Just be very humble and have a lot of grace and show them that, you know, the way that they have been taught may not be the right way, that we must bear fruit, you know, and that kind of way. But just don't give them any more than what they can handle at any given time, at even one given time, but just head them in the right direction. And that's kind of what the Lord was showing me there. You know, in the past, Dave, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd hammer. You know, take the Bible and slap somebody across the head with it, you know, that kind of thing. And it never worked. It never worked. But when you do it with a lot of grace and you do it with a servant's heart, you get a lot more fruit out of that than you would the way that I was taught to do it, to be honest with you. I was taught to just go out and coerce people when I first went out, you know. But if it was the last day, I would truly, in my heart, want to see them come to some light before I left, you know. And then I'd do like Dave said, I'd ask the Lord, Lord, give me the wisdom to talk to these people and show them light of your gospel through me, Lord. Yeah, Leon.
I think I want to address what Dave was talking about with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's a distinction between the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. And that's the, I think that's the key to getting them to recognize that they're being two different spirits. You have the one that you did get at salvation. You have the Spirit of Christ. But unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have the things of the Spirit, you know. And that's the area where all the gifts are distributed. That's where if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the Son of God. That's where you attain so much more than just having the Spirit of Christ. Because everybody that calls on the name of Christ gets the Spirit of Christ, you know, and that they gotta have that to start with. But there's so much more that they could have, and you know, I'm not trying to tell you that I know more than you know or anything like that. But I was just, that was the thing I wanted to share. There's a differentiation there that has to be established, and you know, I don't know if you get to talk to people with a Bible in your hand or if just stuff that you have from memory. But, you know, I would try and show them where it talked about the Spirit of Christ as compared to the Holy Spirit. That's all.
Amen. Rex Verone has a real good analogy of Christ with you and in you with the Coke bottle scenario, dipped in the water. We should throw him over the thing of it that's with you. When you dunk an empty Coke bottle, we should throw him over the top of it into the water. That's Christ with you. But then when you turn your thumb loose and it fills up the inside, that's Christ with you and in you. And that's the dunamis. That's the power of God in your life that you must have to walk this walk.
You know, personally, me, if I would have heard that probably 10 years ago, I would have thought about it, but I wouldn't have known how to approach it. And that's where a lot of these Christians are today, because they've been told all their life, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit's here, or, you know, God the Father, you know, and everybody's, and you have Christ and you have the Holy Spirit. They tell you all the time you have the Holy Spirit. There's no evidence, but they aren't going to talk about that because they don't understand that either. The Pharisees, the false teachers, and everybody just goes along with it and agrees with it because they don't know any different. And it wasn't until I started getting involved in UBM and desiring this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Actually, I desired tongues, you know, because I thought, well, that's a night kind of a cool thing. Everybody hears something about tongues, I want it. I didn't know it was a baptism of the Holy Spirit that I needed, because I would have told you, oh, I have that. After all the years of me being taught about me having it from birth and everybody has it, I would have said, oh, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not realizing, no, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit you have to have. So that's the other biggest thing, overcoming that obstacle, because they think they already have that.
Amen.
I talk about the gifts, and that's the other thing. Some of them are like, I don't want them tongues. I mean, they are adamant about that. They don't really want to get involved with that. There's this fear. And even my mom, even after she, you know, I tried to give her to talk her into this, she just, you know, had the feeling that was something that, you know, was a little too crazy for her, you know, not really comfortable with that idea, thinking I'm giving something up or something's coming on to me and I don't know anything about it, you know, what this is about. And that's what they feel like, well, this is going a little too weird for me, you know. That's kind of where they go, and it's hard to overcome that one.
Well, they don't understand that you got to give up your life to gain your life. So you got to give up everything you know in order to gain the wisdom of God. And that's the impossible thing to tell them, because like you said, they've been indoctrinated so deeply that only those people that have a wish to actually know what's going on will even entertain a thought that's different than what they're being taught, you know. So it's a hard row to hoe, but you know, it can produce fruit, you know. It's gotta figure out the method, but it won't work on everybody. You just gotta find those people that are truly interested in knowing the truth.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've been in here, in the local, is we're in the book Predestination, Called in the Elect. And boy, I'll tell you, it's full of Malcolm, you're breathing hard.
Well, I'll try to stop breathing and then I'll speak.
Go ahead, brother.
It's like raising my hand on the phone, breathing hard.
Okay. So, go for it, brother.
Well, it's like some people saying amen, you know, in the middle of somebody else's sentence, trying to get attention. But I was thinking about, I was just thinking about this the other day, and that is, because I think a lot of us have been through this, and, you know, David and, you know, we're just talking about this here. But, and it's off topic from the servant's heart thing, but I think at least what I wanted to say, but I was just thinking, in 2006, when I started really praying and seeking the Lord again, like I had been with him when I was a teenager, I wanted that experience back. But I had that experience and I'd met God at that time. And then after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, then I would thought, well, yeah, everybody around me is going to want this, you know? I mean, this is what we've all been waiting for, and wow, you know? But I'd been on this path for a while, and I didn't stop to realize that a lot of the people I was so excited to, you know, possibly approach and talk to them about hadn't even been born again yet. I mean, they hadn't met God at any time. They had their names on the books, and you know, they were doing their whatever role in the denominational church, but they hadn't really met the Lord, and they weren't necessarily seeking after him. I think what I had to learn the hard way was that the path I'm on, and actually the Lord leading me out of the denomination, that was a long road for me, and it took many years. In my case, it took many years for me to even come to that point where the Lord led me finally to make that decision and follow him. So it was a hard pill to swallow to realize that actually nobody around me really cared. It was interested in following on with the Lord, at least in my circle of friends. And I've had to be very careful to start listening for direction. And I think the biggest thing was, don't throw your pearls out before swine, because they'll just turn again and rend you, and have no appreciation for the pearls. And that's not to put other people down. It's just that the Lord has selected you and allowed you to come into a relationship with him that he hasn't at that time offered the other folks. He hasn't brought them to that point yet. So it is frustrating, but I think part of the frustration comes from our not being led by the Spirit. I'm not saying you guys aren't led by the Spirit. I'm just saying the frustration, I think, would be, I think there's a rest, that Sabbath rest is resting in the Lord and letting him deal with the folks around us and use us when he's ready to.
Amen.
Hey, I just got a scripture from the Lord because I just opened up Esau before we even started going anywhere. And he put up here, take ye away, therefore, the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. It's pretty obvious to me. The Lord's saying, you know, there's going to be people that are just not going to grow. And when it's time to come, and then, you know, everybody's standing there, you know, there are going to be people that are just going to have to he's going to take even from you because you haven't done what you had the time to do here while you're on earth. You weren't trying to, you know, grow. You weren't trying to have more of me. And what I did give you, you just sat on it. And that's what a lot of people are doing in Christianity. There's a lot of them just sitting on their talent. You know, they aren't trying to accumulate more fruit. They don't see that as being the necessary. He just said he's going to, you know, there's going to be a time where he's going to say, take it away from him, give it to somebody else.
Yep. Don't want that to happen. Mm-mm. Okay, anybody else? What's a servant's heart? Or, if this was your last day, what would you be doing? I think another thing, I believe it was Dave that brought it out. On your last day, what would be the first thing you'd be doing that morning? And I was sitting here thinking about that. Well, you know, you said some good things about talking to your old friends and things like that. But if you're not guided by the Lord, you know, what would you do? Well, that's probably the first thing we need to do is ask the Lord every morning, what do you want me to do today, Lord? Guide me. Lead me into what you want me to do. And I think Dave brought that out earlier, is to be led by the Lord to do whatever it is that he wants you to do. Yeah, Jackie.
Hi. A verse I was going to share covers both of that, about what you're asking about the last day and about the servant's heart, and it's in Romans 12.
That's what book?
Romans.
Oh, okay.
Romans 12. I'm going to start in verse 10, if it's okay to read.
Sure.
Thank you. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another, in honor preferring one another, in diligence not slothful, fervent in spirit serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. So, like, to me, I'm thinking... This is like the second commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself, and also being led of the Spirit, like not being slothful, but just waiting, like you said, in the morning, pray and ask the Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Like, and be led of the Spirit and serving another, because you might get up thinking you're going to have a plan and do something and minister to somebody, and not even know what the Lord wants you to do, and he can just change that, like, in a millisecond.
Amen. Good point. That's right. Absolutely.
Amen.
I was looking at what you were reading. What version are you reading from?
ASV.
Yeah. I see in Romans 10, 2:12-10, it says, in the love of the brethren, be tenderly affected to one another. You know, and I was thinking, well, and I had got that verse recently after I had my conversation with my friend about, you know, being baptized in the Spirit. Lord gave me to love your neighbor as yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a difference between my neighbor and my brethren. I mean, you guys are my brethren. We can come together and we can talk about so many things. And we want to dive into the spiritual things. We want to listen and hear from God. We're at a whole different plane. When we come together, I mean, my understanding from what the Lord has given me is, you know, we're walking into on the mountain. we're here with the Lord. We're on his holy ground. And that's, we're with the brethren. And then we definitely, this rule definitely applies for us while we're here. Everybody should know that. That we're going to be very diligent and not slothful, to be fervent spirit with the Lord and with each other while we're here. Because that's what the Lord wants. That's what he desires as us group. But my neighbor, I can't come into this same level. I mean, I walk off the mountain when I'm talking to my neighbor, and I'm talking to my neighbor outside of this. Not that I'm discouraging anybody with this, but I can see my love of my neighbor. It might want to be with this brotherly love, but I can't bring him into this mountain because he doesn't always want to come up the mountain. He doesn't want to be there with me on that point. And that's where I'm having it. That's my difficulty about this. We have this mountain experience when we're here. But it's kind of hard to get my neighbor to come up this mountain, if that makes any sense. But I still love him. I still love my neighbor. It may not look like it because sometimes they don't want to receive what we're saying. But it's because out of love we're trying to bring them up to the mountain. You know?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's why we're to be led by the Spirit. You know, the Lord, every now and then I think about it in the morning. I say, Lord, run somebody across me that you want me to speak to about you. And when you do, and when he does, things happen, don't they? Greg was talking about the other day, coming across, they get some out of the college. Greg's in maintenance out there at the college, and they get some inmates from the local county jail out there to help out in certain areas in maintenance, like cleaning up yard work and stuff like that. And it came across a guy that was just on fire for God, you know, and was so hungry to know the truth. He'd heard all the denominational stuff in jail about God, you know, but nothing that went along with what he was reading in the Word of God is what Greg said. Said the guy had questions, and Greg was answering him, and the guy got interested in the things that he knew was right. He just couldn't understand certain aspects of it, and Greg was fulfilling some of those voids that he had. Man, he said that guy got on fire, and he was asking questions. It was awesome to listen to, you know, to somebody that was one of God's chosen there. He's hungry for the Word of God. Sounds like, anyway, you know. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Andrew, you knew I was going to call on you. To share something that you've got picked up on the servant's heart thing. You ain't laying in bed, are you?
Okay. This is a chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you had a couple of pillows behind you.
Up, but I didn't get you realized.
Yeah.
No, I was. Someone actually took my verse. As soon as I found it, they came in with the foot washing there from Jesus in what was it again? Luke. And, well, they read the scripture there, and I was going to ask the question as to whether or not, how would you, collate this verse with that verse that we often, quote, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we shall have fellowship one with another. Is Jesus demonstrating something with the washing of the feet as how he is going to wash these disciples walk in the future? That was my question, you know. After he washed their feet, you know, like Peter was there. Oh, not my feet only, Lord, but you washed my head and my hands and everything. And he says, no, all you got to do is have clean feet. And you're clean, you know. So I'm just asking that question is, is that walk in the light verse collating with that foot washing, so that Jesus is now the one who has washed you, cleansed you, sanctified you on this route to walk in the light. Because very soon they're going to have the full infilling of the Spirit of God, and they're going to do that as Peter was the first to come into it and just stepped right out there. You know, how did Peter come to that point where he just started, you know, in the book of Acts, you know, and that's where I was going. Cause you know, before that, you know, he did have his practice when they went out two by two. And this is kind of a practice of a servant's heart. And I think there's a lot of people who have that practice now, some more than others. But, you know, what kind of, igniting was that, you know, where the Apostle Peter went out like that? And I'm sure all of them had it, you know. I'm just trying to imagine this, you know. Also with the 1 John 3:2 there, you know, where it's not yet manifested which you shall be, you know. And this is where my mind's been for this servant's walk, you know, is it going to be me or him, you know? It's all him, yeah, but how does it ignite that way, you know? How does it get to be that way, you know? When is it going to happen, you know? And that's just where I'm at. I'm just like waiting, and you know, sometimes you can wait and you can get really expecting more and it's not all there for you, you think. And you gotta recalibrate what you're thinking when that happens, and then you go, no, it's all been given. And then you go back again into that cycle where you go, well, how's that gonna go when it finally gets fulfilled, when you're gonna be given that little extra, you know, to serve. That's all I'm thinking. The man child's going to come in the tribulation time. There was a concern there for me when people were talking about the last day. And what would you do if it was your last day? How would you serve Jesus? And I was going, well, wait a minute. We're in pretty close to the last days now. We're in the seventh day now. Shouldn't this be happening now? This is something that went through my mind. And what's hindering me from doing this service? And I know there are very high people here who have a lot of verses behind them and a lot of experience behind them. What's hindering them? And, cause, you know, I sometimes go, well, how old am I, Lord? Am I old enough to do this? You know? Or am I just too young for this now? And I'm not talking physical age. Cause, we have to age by glory. Glory shows how old you are, and fruit is how much of Christ you have in you. But the age is your glory. So when does my service start? You know, today at work, for instance, they were talking about stuff, you know, this there's like, they talked about snakes, okay? And the guy talks to me and he goes, Andrew, is there a verse somewhere in the Bible that talks about snakes? And I'm going, oh boy, this guy actually, and I go, well, yeah, there's Genesis, you know? And you go, and in my mind I'm going, doesn't everybody know about that? You know, and he didn't know a reference of the snake in the Bible. It just goes to show you don't know what people next to you who work with you know or don't know. So I think what I'm trying to do is when I commune with some people at work, they start talking about how their life was and what they had to go through, and some of that it's really bad, and you just listen to that and you learn more about these people around you in order to have some more fulfilling conversation with them. Kindness works all the time, you know. They'll sense that in you, and at least they don't yell at me anymore or argue with me about the Lord's word, and because they know I in my corner over there I'll read it. Anyway, that's where I'm at. That's a lot said there.
Okay, go ahead, Willie. Did you have something?
Yeah, forgive me, I'm sitting here all excited, you know. You have that verse of scripture that says, my little children, it is the last hour. And he speaks about Antichrist coming. And he says there, you know, even now are there many Antichrists. And, you know, the Lord was lining up, you know, what he was talking to me about. And he brought in the last hour. And he was like, you need to think of the last hour as if this is your last day. And what he started dealing with me in my heart was about, you know, what's Antichrist in your heart right now? And so, you know, as a believer, you wouldn't think to yourself like, you know, Antichrist, me? You know? He says, you know, he says, even now there are many antichrists. And the Lord, you know, started showing me, you know, the many antichrist things that are in my system, you know, that's in my heart, you know. And what I started, he was dealing with me in a way of, in the sense of, okay, purging. And so I started attacking that. If this was my last day, how seriously would I take dealing with that antichrist, you know, sinful, you know, behaviors in me, you know? Or would I be like, you know, I always got tomorrow to pray about it. You know how we do that. We do that. We look at ourselves as having 16, 15 days, 20 years, 30 years, 10 years down the road, you know, and that's how we perceive our walk as these, you know, we have so many years down the road, you know, but right, why not look at it, you know, today, you know, as of today. I'm not saying that you won't exist tomorrow, but the Lord said to me, sufficient, you know, unto the day is the evil thereof. And I was, you know, so I started really looking at, you know, myself. And I'm like, okay. And I started attacking things within me with more of a seriousness, you know, to it. Lord, you're right. You know, I do, I do have a flirtatious behavior. I need to do something about that. Lord, you know you're right. I do got a critical spirit. And you know what? I would think I'm going to work tomorrow. I got to do this tomorrow. I got to be this. I have to do this tomorrow. I got to be my kids tomorrow. So I would constantly blow it off. Constantly blow it off because of things I needed to complete today and tomorrow and the next day. Things I needed to complete. You know? And I just found that, you know, so very interesting. You know, that's where God was started to deal with me, with the idea, you know, of understanding a servant's heart, because I had nothing. You know, I was listening to C.H. Spurgeon. I threw on a couple people, you know, try to get an idea. You know, I wanted to have something to give, because I'm like, I brought up the subject and I don't got nothing in my head. I'm not saying today is anyone's last day, but it is almost like that. I don't know if I have tomorrow. I don't know if I'll see you guys Thursday. You know, I have absolutely no idea. I can't guarantee that because, you know, I confess Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You know, what if that was my last day? You know, and the scripture says, teach us to number our days. How do we do that? One day at a time. How would you deal with today? You know, teach us to number our days so that we can see just how short life is. As of witnessing the people, what he showed me about that is they, within, you know, such a short span, people that needed to be prayed for was coming out the woodworks. You know, people were in my face telling me about their sicknesses and their pains and this and that. And I'm just like, what I would have done the next day, you know, now I was truly thinking about, you know, today. And, you know, it kind of, it changed my perspective on faith, too. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I have to take healing as if I got that, you know, not... Oh man, you know, I'm going to try to build myself up to a place of having faith to heal people. But if that person needed healing today, and this was my last day, and that person needed to be healed, and I'm still trying to get myself up to a place of faith, you know, then I started dealing with that in my heart, you know. It was like, you know, my last day turned into an inward attack on everything that was Antichrist, and an outward opportunity on performing Christ, not with my own strength, but as it came, you know, and not avoiding it, not, oh, you know, hey, the Lord keep and bless you, I know how you feel, and then you just walk off, and you know you had that opportunity, you know you had that opportunity. Does that person who you had the opportunity with, do they have tomorrow? And I'm not saying look at it with a guilt trip, but it gives you such an awesome perspective, you know, of then allowing, how would I allow grace to operate in me? Then I started realizing, you know, you got to lose yourself. You have to completely lose yourself. If this was my last day, I would have to completely lose myself. There was something antichrist in there. You know, there were places where, you know, I wasn't completely losing myself. I had to attack it, you know, in prayer. And, you know, real prayer. I'm not saying you guys don't do that. I'm just saying how the Lord was dealing with me. You know, really, you know, looking at that. And I started seeing really fast changes. Really fast changes. And this has been, you know, since the time we talked about it, you know, day before yesterday, that's a lot of fast change. God works really fast, you know. But I guess that's the best way I can say it, if you guys can understand what I'm saying, or if I articulated it well enough.
Well, absolutely. I think you did a wonderful job. Kind of been same thing on my heart. Yep, that's good, Willie. I appreciate that. Come up with some good stuff, brother. You and all of everybody does. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon.
I got to confess to you guys that I'm having a problem with a servant's heart right now. And the Lord's just dealing with me about it and has been for a while. And I thought I had somewhat mastered it, but I haven't. And I don't know, Michael, if you wouldn't mind praying for me,
okay.
I'd appreciate that. And,
all right.
I just want to be right with the Lord, and I'm struggling in this particular area.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for Leon's honesty. We thank you, Lord, for confession that gets us where you want us, Lord. And we thank you for the humble heart that Leon has that wants to do right and wants to be right with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for placing in him this servant's heart. And Lord, let it be real evident to him that he's already has the servant's heart, and Lord, you're working that in him, and that his walk, even today, is evident of that servant's heart. And Father, we thank you that you're even going to make it more pronounced to him, that Lord, you're working in him this great humble walk that you've got us all on as a disciple of Christ, walking in his steps, Lord, doing the things that you want us to do, and that's helping the brethren, helping the sisters, and doing all the things that you want us to do, Lord. But first of all, Lord, we all need to get into that place to where we seek you first and foremost in each day to do what you want us to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask that for myself and everybody here, Lord, that you place it in us to seek you first in the mornings before we go out and do the things that we have to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that not only are you placing a servant's heart on Leon, Lord, that you have blessed him with certain gifts that are becoming even more evident day by day. And we praise you for it, Father. And Lord, I thank you for using Leon in a mighty way in this walk that you have him on. In Jesus' name. Lord, he's always been a blessing to the body, but he wants to be more of a blessing to you, Lord. And I thank you for that, and I thank you for his heart, his confessing heart, Lord, his heart for you, Lord. He wants that servant's heart, and I thank you, Father, that you've already given it to him, and you're making it better every day. You're making it more evident to everybody around him every day, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Leon?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Lord.
Michael.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. We're getting kind of close to closing time here. Anybody got anything to pray about before we leave? Yeah, Dave.
Pray. I wanted to comment that, you know, one of the things I was thinking about when we were going to converse about the servant's heart was it's easy to feel a little anxious. I felt that myself. I start to feel that and wonder, you know, you start thinking about you're coming up short someplace. And because listening to David some more, you know, last week or so, it's all by grace. We got to realize we're all coming into the kingdom by grace. And our salvation is all by grace. And we realize that everything we do is all going to be by grace of the Lord. And I think it's like the biggest thing, I think you mentioned, just falling in that rest. You mentioned that, Leon, We make sure we're not striving to work out our salvation and worry about whether or not we're doing the right thing for the kingdom. I mean, that's really admirable thoughts, and to keep diligent working, but at the same time to realize we're still here by grace. It's always going to be by grace, and the Lord's going to bring us through this by grace, and He's the one that's going to build the house. You know, so not try to get ahead of the Lord. You know.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Willie, would you dismiss us with prayer? Please, sir.
Father, we thank you for such a, I would like to call it such a well, a perfect day, Lord. Just to be able to talk about you. Lord, give us to know your heart. How to be so well pleasing unto you. How to serve one another. Lord, how to cry out before you one for another. How to be filled with your spirit. Let love guide us, Heavenly Father. And give us the same heart wherewith Christ has judged all things. Lord, let us be fruitful and multiply as you said in your word. And feel the earth, Heavenly Father, preaching the word in season, out of season, to the glory of your name. Lord, as we leave this meeting, keep us. Speak to us. Visit us, Heavenly Father. Show us things to come. Lord, be with everyone tonight. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we give you glory, because you're more than worthy. Let that glory be respected with the laying down of our lives unto you. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Well, all right, it's been a good night. Praise God. We'll just carry this forth to Thursday night, too. Just be thinking about it. Both of those, servant's heart, and what about the last day? Thank you, Lord. Well, good night, everybody.